Hey, everybody. Welcome to Breaking the Rules, the Vanderpump Ones. Sorry that we did not get the valley loaded, and it's just been really rough here. So the kids' great-grandparent, their great-grandpa passed away. It's my ex-husband's grandpa, and I did stay close with the grandparents and great-grandparents on that side for the children's sake. So we definitely have a funeral to go to this week, but it was just, I guess, divine timing. And because our son left or is leaving, so he is going to be gone and will not be here for the funeral. He's shipping out for the military. So that's just overwhelming. And then our dog, our elderly dog, Dora, we took her in for her regular checkup last month, and she's been itching really bad, which she's like, I don't know, like 15 years old now. And she'd been itching really bad, so we had a donut on her, and so they gave her a shot for that. And then they noticed that she was grimacing from her arthritis and gave her a pill for that. Unfortunately, within just a matter of 2-3 weeks, one of those medicines has destroyed her kidneys. She's wearing a diaper and she is barely able to get around. She's grimacing. We are giving her pain pills, and we have a scheduled appointment for her later this week to check the kidney functions and see if they've gotten any better. If they haven't, we may make a decision to put her down. So it's just been a really, really overwhelming week as an adult. And so I have decided that he and I are going to recap the Valley, those two episodes together, like last week and this week. So we won't deliver that recap until next week. I think it'll be good because it'll allow us to be able to see the entirety of that scene play out before we give our opinion on it. So I'm not complaining, but I really wanted him to be here for the Valley. He really wanted to be here for the Valley recap. So I'm just going to skip it and give it a little breather. But anyway, away from all of the sad and death, I was just really in my own head this weekend with everything going on. And so I just sat down and was listening to podcasts, and then got up and did things and listened to podcasts, and it was just a day to do that, I guess. And I dug through because of the announcement with Faith Stowers and her suing Bravo and NBC Universal Studios for discrimination. It's like racial acts, the knife incident with Lala, which, by the way, I found after digging, the knife incident with Lala happened before they were actually really good friends after that. So that was like when they first met, and then they were like best friends. And when I say best friends, like hanging out every night, the way Faith described it. So it wouldn't have been a far fetch for them to be put in a situation where they were in the same room, and maybe it was going to be insinuated. I can't imagine them telling them that they want them to have sex with each other, but that's what Faith is claiming in this lawsuit, is that on the Hawaii trip, that the one where Jack stole the sunglasses, that they made her room with Lala, and it was uncomfortable because she was being forced into possibly having sexual relations with another woman. In my digging, though, I found gold mines. Apparently, Lala knew about Lala knew about Jack's cheating on Brittany long before it was divulged on the show. In that season, I think it was like season 6 or 7. It's like episode 1. And so it's like that opener, season opener. And they had invited Faith there. But Lala already knew that that had taken place months earlier. She found out about it. And so she worked a deal with producers to release that information sometime throughout the season. I'm like, holy shit, this is fucking gold. What the fuck is going on? So then my mind starts whirling like big time. Of course, we know that that's not what happened. Apparently, the night before Sheena's party, which is where Sheena's party is where the blow up happened, where, you know, everybody found out about Jack's cheating. That night before, Faith was asked to film. So she came and stayed with Jesse Montana. Now, if you remember, Jesse Montana is the one that went and told Brittany about it. Faith apparently told Jesse about it that night at his place, the night before the party. And so that next day, they got ready together, went to the party, and all of that happened. And she actually went to the party, rode to the party with James, Faith did. So Faith and James were really tight, as well as Lala. It was like a trio, and they were kind of the misfits. The only difference is that instead of getting confessionals, Faith didn't. Lala and James got confessionals where they were able to talk. And I mean, maybe there was a conclusive decision made about whether or not Faith could or should do that. I don't know the answer to that question, but I think it's definitely going to come out now that she's filed this lawsuit. I can tell you that my mind has not stopped thinking about the fact that Lala narrated Scandaball. She narrated the whole fucking thing. And if she made a deal with producers about Jax and Brittany, why would she not make the same fucking deal about Tom and Raquel? You know it. And I feel like it definitely should have happened. I mean, should have been came out. But the orchestration has my mind blown. Like, who else knew, for sure? Because now we know people are fucking lying. I don't know, it was just diabolical, the shit I found. The clips are up on our pages, both our Instagram and TikTok. So if you don't follow us, please do that. Follow the podcast. Give us a rating. Please give us a rating. We don't have a lot of those, so I would love a rating. And I'm trying to get that Vanderpump Villa recap done for you. I'm telling you, though, 3 episodes at once was a lot. Like, that is not what I get usually, so it was just way more than I could handle all at once while we have 2 other recaps going on, and then all of these deaths happening in the family, and then our son leaving. So it was just too much. I will say, we did create a subscribership on the IG account, and I did that because I pay for Stassi's podcast, The Good, The Bad, The Baby. I pay for Faith Sauer's podcast now. So, any paid podcast that you want me to cover, just join and shoot me a message and let me know what you'd like for me to cover. But I do try and cover like some of those that are dealing with the shows that we recap. So some of those cast members and their podcast, interviews with other podcasts, whatever. But I did that so I could recap those for you and tell you, you know, the tea that you're missing on those clips. This week, I was able to give you some tea from Stassi and Bo on their thoughts and reactions to the Valley. And there was a lot of it that threw me aback. Like, they actually introduced Jax to some of the people on that show. And so you just have to go subscribe. Hit that subscription button, and it's 99 cents a month. It's only going to cost you $12 a year, and you're going to get all of those recaps you're missing because you don't want to pay for all of these different podcasts and listen to them. So, I think that's pretty much it, other than Ariana finished up her role at Chicago, so her stint in New York City, she finished up, and all of the pictures and videos seemed wonderful. You know, she was picked for Love Island host, so that's going to be her next venture. She bought herself a new home. Exciting shit happening because we all want her to be able to move on from this situation and to start a new life, like, that she designs. Let's get into it. VPR, season 11. This one is Line in the Sand. We will start with Katie and Allie and Lala exercising in the park. And Lala tells them that she is going to have this water tasting, and she's invited everyone, including Sandoval. The look on their faces was priceless. So I'm sure that as soon as they left there, Katie got in the car and Katie called Ariana and was like, motherfucker. The next scene cuts to Tom whenever she like says his name, and it cuts to him in the gym. I feel like he gets this from Jax, where when something's going on, he just works out like 100 times a day. Because you cannot possibly just be getting scenes of him working out. Is that like when you text him, producers, when you text him and tell him you're coming over to film, he's like, I'll be in the gym. Like, I'm just so confused by every single scene being there. The craziest thing about this scene is that Anne walks in, Tom's personal assistant walks in shortly after they cut to him. And she greets Ariana downstairs. She's dressed in a suit. She's ready to interview for that job with Ariana as her personal assistant. And then she proceeds to go upstairs in her suit and tell Tom, hey, I got some stuff to do downstairs. Ariana actually needs a new personal assistant. Like, why are you telling on yourself, Anne? Like, here's the thing. What you did, it's kind of dirty. He fired you for insubordination. I mean, that's kind of what that is. Whenever you are a conflict of interest in that gravity, it's insubordination because you never know who you can trust. And that just makes it really, really hard. I don't know. I definitely felt like he like walked outside and of the gym and could hear some of the conversation when she was like, I just want you to be my girl boss. And we don't know if that's really what she heard or what he heard, but that was the way that they made it look. Tom's confessional, he's like approaching the assistant, you know, he's pissed. He's like, you got the friends, you got everything. And he just sounds like jealous, like jaded. Poaching his assistant, dude, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Poaching his assistant is so fucking classic. Like, that's the kind of shit I'd like to see. The, like, screaming and yelling and, like, get out of here, get out of here, get out, like, over and over is a bit much for me. But the poaching the assistant and the little funny shit here and there, like, he deserves that kind of karma. And that's the shit that he should be experiencing as a part of the fallout from the decisions that he made with so many people that you guys had in your life. I know a lot of you guys look at the page or comment on the page, and a lot of people think that I am, like, anti-Ariana and pro-Tom. I'm not pro-anyone. I'll be honest with you. I recap. I give you guys an unbiased opinion of what I see on the show or what they show us on the show. And then I use, I mean, it's my page. So the amount of dirt and sources and information that I'm getting at this point, I'm taking that and I'm making these binders. I'm creating like little dots going from one point to another. It allows me to go back and listen to different podcasts that I've written down, had things in them and why. So it's a hobby for me. I mean, it's grown to be a little more than a hobby at this point, but I will say I enjoy it. And, you know, we're going to dig. If you say something that seems contradictory to something you said before or to a stance that you've made, we're probably going to point that out. It's what we do. So please do not take what I say to be the truth for you. I love opinions. So everybody knows you guys can bring your opinion to the page and you guys can all have conversations there. And I have no qualm or beef with it. I don't erase comments. I do not try to make a certain stance. So I really do hope that you find the page to be a safe space. I will delete I don't delete comments. I will delete hate comments. So if there is any type of hate comment toward one another or toward any discriminating toward any race or gender, then that is automatically deleted from our page, and usually I will block the person that has done it. She actually is downstairs talking to Ariana about getting, Anna's, about getting a better job because she feels like she's not doing enough administrative duties. But I mean, it sounds like he wrote down what you'd be doing, and that sounds like sitting on the line for customer service is not administrative. So I would really love Anne to see that list of things that he gave you on your contract. And I know you probably can't share that shit, but I mean, you can say, was it mostly administrative, or was it mostly you're picking up my dirty shit the day after if I can't do that? Ariana poked fun at him here and said that he would wear his underwear over and over again sometimes, some days. And I don't know, I found that to be a little bit tacky because you had no problem sleeping in the bed with him. And she's like, that's why I didn't want to sleep with him. But that's not what you said on camera for years and years. You called it your own insecurity, and, you know, it had nothing to do with, you know, him or his body or hygiene. It only had to do with you and your vagina and no one touching it. So this is where I get, like, contradictory things, because I remember everything. Anne does have a confessional, which cracked me up. She calls it talking heads. That's what she calls confessionals in the podcast. And she talked a lot about this on the podcast this week. He did not really fire her, so Ariana ends up leaving shortly after this. And when she's going to leave, it's pretty evident that there was a blow up. And we'll go into that further whenever she gets to Katie's house later. But the next scene is Schwartz showing up at Sheena and Brock's with his biological clock in his hand ticking. Maybe alarm going off. I don't know. It's pretty weird. It just really, it makes no sense though, because he's like really wanting his, like he feels like his biological clock is going off and he wants to settle down, but he's dating a 24-year-old. And I'll be honest, some 24-year-olds are like, yes, I'm ready to get married and settle down and have babies. Our daughter is 24 years old and she is not ready to do those things. And she's had a boyfriend for years. So to me, it just is not the age I would be dating, the age range I would be dating if having children quickly. When they get outside, he says, it was a breath of fresh air, just like having sex with Katie. Like, what? It doesn't even make sense. Brock's like, yeah, she's having sex, all right. It's just not with you. He was really coarse this time. He was coarse here. He was coarse on the after show. I'm going to put up some clips here in a little bit. So I hope you guys enjoy those clips. I love that the after show is now a podcast. Woo woo. Love bringing podcast clips to you guys, so that's really what we do. Now, we will throw an occasional news blast in there, or breaking news, but really podcast sharing clips from podcasts is what we do on both of the social media pages. So if that's what you like to hear little excerpts from the different podcasts that are released, then our page is the place for you. It would make sense that Brock would be the one to pick up the shade from Sheena. So, because she gets pissed when he says that to him. And it's a hypocritical statement. They kind of talk about Max and that hookup. And to me, I agree with Schwartz here. You cannot be on the high horse of everybody's a whore, and then you start lining up behind them for the guys that they've banged. Because on the after show, Kristen said she's had sex with him multiple times. Sheena's had sex with him multiple times. We know now that Katie has. I mean, who else? Dana has, which is Katie's best friend. It's just weird. It's so dysfunctional and fucking weird. And Katie can say they don't hang out with each other, but she swears this happened when they weren't filming, so, and they were all hanging out with each other, so that kind of debunks the fact that she's saying that they were not, none of them hang out when they're not filming. The next scene flips to what I referenced earlier when Ariana arrives at Katie's apartment and she does tell her about when she's leaving. Anne comes up to her and tells her that she is pretty sure she's getting fired for interviewing with her. Ariana gives her a pep talk and walks out the door. You know, Anne thought it was just wonderful and great. She gave her this pep talk. She felt really good about it, so that's all that matters. But I probably would have been like, listen, give me a call later and we'll talk about anything that we have that might be able to help. Because she's getting ready to go to Katie's. So she knows she can speak to Katie about this. But it's just a super crazy. Katie's like, there's no privacy. No, there's not privacy in the open kitchen living room section when there's a runway upstairs from his gym to the bed, or from his bedroom to the gym. It just seems stupid for you to think that you're going to have privacy in that room, especially when it's his employee. I don't know. I just, that was the wrong time to talk about privacy. That wasn't the point to talk about it. I can say that the convo goes into locations and Sheena, they kind of talk about her stalking people. They go on to talk about this on the after show, how Ariana feels like, you know, she has my location, but maybe she shouldn't have my location. It's just weird, really. I don't give my location to a bunch of friends. Our daughter has my location and my husband has our location. My son doesn't want my location. I mean, maybe he will now that he's not at home all the time, so maybe he will. But it just seems a little weird to me that, you know, and unless it's just sharing for a little bit, why you would keep that on with so many people, especially people you've had sexual relations with of the opposite sex or same sex, if that's your preference. But Katie swears on the after show that, and on the podcast, that fucking Max was not a revenge bang. It was just divine timing. I mean, it is what it is. They kind of touch about the water tasting. Ariana's not looking forward to it. She actually made me laugh out loud here when she said it's not a water tasting, it's a waterboarding. She's not wrong. But I think she was the one doing the boarding at the end of the day. The next scene goes straight to James and Allie's house, and they're getting ready for that, for the company, for that water tasting. The water tasting guy's already there. He's setting up all of his shit. And the arrivals start. It's Lala, then Schwartz in his, like, green granny shirt. And then the Davies, and Katie and Ariana and Dana. I think Dana referenced this to be the one time she came in and, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit that with my foot. This was the one time she came in and filmed with them this season, and after she went, she was like, yeah, no, I don't think I need to do that. So at least now we all know why she decided one and done. This was a hard one for anybody. Us watching it was hard, so I'm sure it was hard for her as well. The water of it all. I can't, like, water has to be ice cold for me to even enjoy it, which makes it super hard because nobody serves ice cold water ever. And then I don't want anything with a salt taste to it. Like, fuck no, that sounds absolutely what is thirst quenching about that? Gross. Them asking if they've ever done it before, and Tom's like, yeah, yesterday. Ariana's eye roll, it's like, I've heard that a million times. I feel like those are defense mechanisms of his, and maybe he did that a lot whenever he was trying to downplay
things. The boys go outside and they are... Or no, wait. The tasting is first. I can't leave out the tasting. One of them did taste like salt water, but they go inside after the tasting. They go inside. Pizza's ordered. Ariana starts commenting about Tom running out to get stuff. And I mean, this is kind of where it starts. She's picking at little shit that she just loved about him, I feel like. Because I honestly am not seeing any difference in him than what he always was. He was always that annoying guy that went 150% overboard to make everybody, like, you know, be like, oh my God, thanks, Tom. Like, he always wanted to be that person that received that thoughtful thanks. So I'm not sure where that's coming from, but I feel like it starts a catastrophic spiral of events. And Brock, you know, the boys go outside and they're playing basketball. It's Brock, it's Tom's, and it's James. And, you know, they're out there playing and Brock is really just being an ass. He's like, well, you need to get shit settled and taken care of. And, like, really, I think he's coming to him because he is, like, starting to get annoyed with the conversations he's having with Sheena all the time. And he's like, man, you gotta fucking fix it. I can't listen to Sheena anymore. You gotta make it better. You gotta, like, you gotta fix it so you and her can be cordial and be in the same room so we can all coexist and work as we're supposed to. I feel like that was his play. It's funny because Tom's like, whatever, that's not my decision. And then James, it caught my eye because James was like, I'll go tell her. And then he rolled his eyes like, yeah, no, I fucking won't. I feel like there's a lot of reaction there. He knows, they know they're going to get the same reaction that it is what ends up happening. Ariana is sitting at the table, is telling everyone that Anne was fired for interviewing with her. Lala brings up the fact that Anne is actually the go-between for them, and, like, this is a bigger deal than just firing your assistant. You no longer have a go-between. It's a hostile environment, and you need somebody to take over. Ariana's like, my lawyer can do it. And the way she was eating that pizza and just saying my lawyer could do it, y'all, I didn't care for that at all. That was attitude entitlement like I've never seen it. So that whole display in that 5 seconds was disgusting. Both of them were disgusting beyond this. And I'm going to tell you all about it. Because they go back and forth. It starts out with her talking about that. She sees him walking through there, calls him an attempted dog murderer. And at that time, you know, it just blows up beyond belief. You guys know how I feel about the dog, Maya, and what should have happened. The dog should have been caged. The dog is problematic. The pet owner knows that. The pet owner is solely Ariana, as she claims. So if I'm the pet owner and I'm responsible, especially, I'm not going to leave him or her, whatever pet, out running loose in the home at the responsibility of someone I feel unsafe with. So I'm going to make sure that my pet is safe at all times, especially because it's happened before with laxatives and paintballs and all of these different things. Like, I feel like it's super irresponsible to leave the pet out with Tom Sandoval. So the pet should have been caged, or she should have hired a sitter to be there exactly with the pet. Simply because she had carelessness in leaving things out in a room that houses maintenance items. You know that as a pet owner, you have to plan ahead for all of these events. You guys know, I have 6 dogs. Fast forward me if you don't want to hear it, but I have 6 dogs. So I know more than anyone what it's like to lose a dog from an accident. We had a dog that drowned in one of our pools. It was the most horrific scenario and traumatic event that I think one of the most traumatic events I've ever experienced in my whole entire life was finding my baby in the pool 5 minutes after I let him outside. So to me, like, accidents can happen, and I would have never, ever blamed anyone other than myself in that moment, taking ownership as that dog's owner, because he was mine. And if I'm going to say he's mine, then I'm going to take ownership in whether or not he's safe. And I can do that. I can keep him safe or not. It just super frustrates me. It got really heated really quickly. She starts screaming at him. I will tell you guys that it did catch my attention that he said some really, really different things to her about that, you know, she got all the deals and she got all of this stuff. And like, you've said that twice this episode in a confessional, and now you said it at James' house yelling at her. You are jealous, bro. You are jealous she got way more attention than you did with this scandal. And you really thought that you were going to come out on top like you did the last time. You did it to Kristen. You came out on top. You thought it was going to happen again, and it's not. So I think that is her slap in the face to him. She really doesn't need to do anymore. Like, the grace would give and offer her far more. But she really doesn't need to do anymore. The fact that she is winning at life is so enough. Like, it's so enough. And I get it. I get it. It's still fresh. We all know it's still fresh. But I just am not buying that that's the only reason that she's raging like that. I feel like that's a comfortable position for her. And you can come at me if you want. But I think that rage is a comfortable position for her. And, I mean, we made it more comfortable for her after that reunion. So, I gotta tell you guys, there's a lot of things I've found out in the last, like, 2 months that have really changed my opinion of all of the cast. I don't morally agree with not one of them. Not one of them are telling us the truth about who they are or what they're showing on the TV screen. So nothing is all the truth. And I know I shouldn't expect all the truth, but the amount of lies and deception is pretty sickening. So I'm just continuing to give you these recaps. I don't know. I'll make a decision after this season completes as to whether I continue with Vanderpump. So I know it's kind of what started this craziness, but it's just the podcast. I can do clips and talk about that, but the podcast makes it really hard because I'm here to deliver an unbiased opinion to you. And I think that in order to do that, I need to not be critical or cynical, I should say, because that's another way. Tom and Katie, meanwhile, while Tom and Ariana are fighting, Schwartz and Katie are outside and they are having a conversation about the fact that she fucked Max. The one thing that caught my attention was Katie said, "If Max is my one fuck up, you're lucky." What is the deal with this entitlement? Why are these two ladies so fucking entitled? I get it. You were treated badly. But that doesn't entitle you to say things like, if your best friend was my one fuck up, you're lucky? Wow, Katie. Wow. That's all I gotta say about that. And then she makes fun of his outfit choice, which is kind of rich considering... Rachel came forward and released a podcast this week and did an apology to Katie and Dana for resharing the article of, she actually got Joe to post it originally, and it was an article of a best and worst dress where Rachel was on the best dressed and Katie and Dana were on the worst dressed list, and she had Joe share it and then she reshared it. I'm gonna say, y'all all would be agreeing with her if I would have posted that article and just posted the article. Y'all all would have went in the comments. Y'all love to hate Katie until you're hating Rachel. It's really, really awful to see on the page. Like, sometimes I feel like Ariana could murder someone and it would be like, he drove her to do that. You know he did. Any man that does that to a woman with her best friend for 7 months, he just drove her to do it. She can rot in hell. Sorry, that was my best Southern impression. And when y'all tell me that I'm super Southern, that is super Southern to me. So I know I sound Southern to, like, Midwesterners and West Coasters, because when I lived both places, I always got, "Where are you from? You are from the South." No, I'm not. Tom gets really upset with her, and it's just, Ariana is winning arguments by screaming the loudest. And I'm pretty sure that she said Tom taught her that. Kind of crazy. He taught her the one thing that she's using to bury him every scene with. Sorry, I needed to take a drink. Sorry. She's like, "I'm going to call 911. You got all the deals, all of our friends. Now you're trying to take my assistant. You fucking blow chunks." Rihanna, he didn't really say that she blew chunks, I feel like. He's like shutting the door really hard and walking outside with James and the guys again to leave. And at that point, Katie and Schwartz hear the fighting and they head inside, Katie agreeing to not funk any more of his friends going forward. Lala in the after show and in her confessional talking about, "Didn't you do a trash bag commercial, Ariana? Don't you know how to take the trash out?" Was shady AF. Oh, shit. She's bringing out the shade. Tom Schwartz walks back in and Ariana clearly states she's pissed off at him again just by association. Just that kind of shit is just old. And when Schwartz gets questioned about this at the dinner later with the guys, or doesn't get questioned, but when Tom's talking about her rage and her stuff all the time, he's like, "No comment." No comment means yes, and you just don't want to say it yourself on camera, or you would say no. So that tells me that he's definitely seen that rage from her way before now. Now, was it warranted? Hell yes. But that is a toxic fucking relationship and environment, 100% hands down. Schwartz calls Sandoval and they talk about meeting up later because, of course, you know, Ariana kicks him out. She's like, "Get the fuck out of here." Kyle and Tom going into the restaurant with Schwartz, and it made me laugh so hard because he was talking about, "Oh, I can show you how to turn off the location," because he said Katie has his location, and he's like, "I'm not worried about it." Yeah, I guarantee you she's looking at that shit sometimes. No fucking way she's not. And Sandoval's like, "I can teach you how to do that. I'm pro at that." And Kyle's like, "I don't really think you need to be talking about things being deleted or turned off on your phone." That cracked me up. That was a really good joke, Kyle. Kudos for making me laugh out loud this episode. They sit down, and Tom, this was a much better scene on the extended version on the Peacock app. So if you have that app, hit this episode, scroll in to this scene. They showed way more. He was basically saying Ariana couldn't wipe her ass. She was so lazy. She laid in bed all day. He got up and did shit, which we know is not fucking true. I will say that I'm not sure if it's shady editing or if it's honest. It looked like when she said she cleaned the litter box, she scooped poop out of it. That's not cleaning the litter box. That's sifting it, just to be clear. And what he did was clearly cleaning it. Now, is that a common occurrence? We can't tell that. It's just one week or two that filming was there and caught them doing that. So we don't know what happens there on a regular basis. I would say that I'd be a little bit worried. But he doesn't know how her ass gets wiped. So fucking ridiculous. This scene made me really angry. But this is the kind of shit that's toxic, and I would get my fucking self away from that shit real quick. The next scene moves to Brock and Sheena at home, just sitting talking about beach day, and Brock is pretty adamant about saying that Ariana needs to move on. She needs to deal with it. I can't even read what I wrote here. If I say anything like she needs to move on, Sheena was saying this. If I say anything like she needs to move on, she's going to ice me out. So she felt in her confessional like she couldn't even come forward and say something. And that's like a lie, because I've seen previews for the next episode, and she absolutely at beach day tells her that she needs to get rid of the feelings. So she does come forward and say that. And this confessional where she said that, if I say anything to her, she's going to ice me out. You'd already said something to her. I don't know. It just was dumb. Poor Brock, though. And I say poor Brock, but I mean, he was being an ass this episode. He was really, like, saying some pretty cross shit. The next scene was probably the most produced, staged meetup I've ever seen on Vanderpump Rules in all my 11 seasons. Allie and James meet up with Lisa and his mom. Are you fucking kidding me right now? First of all, why do we need to see his mom? We don't. We do not need to see his mother. His mother apparently is a bank robber after the digging I did this weekend and Dana did from the Bravo Investigator and podcast. I take Bravo very seriously. She's got some great clips, you guys. If you guys are not following her, please go give her a follow. She really digs in a lot further than me sometimes on topics, and I'm able to ask her permission to share some clips and get some stuff to you guys. I actually shared a clip from her podcast because she had Terry Maloney on recently, so you should check out that interview. It was actually really good. She talked about lost scenes in season 10. She talked about the response to Lala talking trash about her on her social media. I don't know. It was just a lot. But this is like the most ridiculous scene. I thought it was dumb. I thought the only thing I got from this is that they said they were keeping the cats and the dogs separate. Is that still the case? Because you were answering back to fans this summer and telling them that it absolutely seemed like it, and I don't even want to say seemed, but they were absolutely cohabitating and getting along and loved each other. So I'm just super confused by this response. It just doesn't seem like it makes sense. The Ariana welcomes the designer to the house, so we're switching to their house, and she comes in. She talks about, you know, they're talking about an itemized list of all of the items in the house so that she can get that to Tom with a different estimate or a counter offer for what he offered her with the house. And it seems like she's going through all of the items that they had purchased to furnish the house. This is normal, you guys. I mean, this is normal divorce behavior. This is what you do. So I know she's acting like this is petty and this is ridiculous, but this is just what you do. You just go through there and you either say they're worth this much and we're going to cut it down the middle, or I'm taking this and you're taking this because I paid for this. And like, it just depends what kind of arrangement you come to. The next scene flips to beach day. And of course, Ariana immediately, she's there with like Brock and James and Sheena and Allie, and I think Schwartz is already there. Sandoval has not arrived, and she's like, yeah, I know he's coming. His stripey crochet thing was in the dryer. Dude, that means you did not wash it. Probably you just threw it in the dryer so that you could get the wrinkles out of it before you go to this event. Oh my god, I can't. I mean, it could mean that he put it in the wash, but just for some reason, just because she caught it in a dryer. The guys were talking about how they're going to this single event or whatever it is. And they're talking about it. And immediately, Sheena is like, what are you guys talking about? What's going on? And of course, Schwartz tells her, you know, hey, well, we're going to this. And then it kind of just ensues to be really, really bad talk. I'm going to put up a clip about this because they did include a lot of the pieces of it inside of the after show. So that's fantastic. But I just cannot believe that Brock made a fucking insinuation about Raquel. Like, first off, Sheena's like, you guys have all flirted with me at some point in time. Shut the fuck up. Your husband is, like, creating these conversations that are uncomfortable. And then you chime in with uncomfortable details. And then your husband is like, well, is that what you did with Raquel, too, Sandoval? Like, and Ariana's just disgusted. Of course she's disgusted. Like, the way the conversation ensued, it was ridiculous. And it was, like, people just kept egging it on. I mean, James was like, I mean, it made me laugh out loud, but James was even like, and how do you feel about that, Sandoval? And he was like, I don't like it. It's just back and forth, getting reactions and throwing fits. Again, it threw me off whenever she, I think it was Katie asked, I'm not sure if it was Katie, somebody asked Sandoval if he knew about Schwartz and Sheena kissing, and he said he didn't. And where's Lala when we need her? Like, Schwartz told Lala that he told Sandoval, and he never told anybody. So he's like, I'm not going to tell stuff on him. That's kind of why he's saying it. I'm not going to tell stuff on him when he never told my lies on me. It just seems stupid for me to be the one to come forward and tell his shit. It's just super fucking uncomfortable. Especially with Brock. Is that what you told Raquel? Katie calls out Sandoval for hiring a new assistant. And she's like, you got a new assistant? Because I need some stuff done for something about her, some paperwork and stuff. So we would like to hire her. And he's like, no, I didn't fire her. Well, here's the note. Okay. He did not fire her. He would not tell her you're fired. This is how he maneuvers, though. We know he had a problem with confrontation when it came to Ariana. So we know that's going to continue in his life with other relationships and drama. And it's going to surface in all of these different ways. Not telling people that things are finished. Finding ways to shut things off so that you don't have to complete an interaction or complete, you know, some type of back and forth with someone. I don't know how to describe it other than interaction. Man, I'm losing my words. I've been on here for too long. But it was just super awkward, the whole interaction. And I think that's probably it for me this week, guys. And that was actually pretty good timing on this one. I'm proud of myself. I like to keep these under like a 45-minute mark. So this one's pretty damn close. Remember, no Valley recap this week. We're gonna recap this week's episode and next week's episode in the episode that we release next week. Look for a Vanderpump Villa recap, though, coming probably in the next couple of days. Thanks for joining.